Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. Perhaps you saw this program a few months ago when we did a heresy update, talking about how false teaching has invaded some once good Christian denominations. And most people were very appreciative. Thank you, Pastor Brock. That's so needed. But I also got some of this. Pastor Brock, you are so full of hate. Shame on you. And I have learned, no matter how lovingly and humbly you say that abortion is wrong, homosexual behavior is wrong, people are always going to think you're filled with hate, no matter how humbly you do it. I want to tell you this. A friend of mine heard that, and he said, it would be hateful, Tom, for you not to tell people what's going on. So out of love, because I don't want people to be deceived, out of love, we're going to do another heresy update. We're going to talk about what's going on in some churches, and we do this out of love, trying to protect our viewers. So let's pray. Father, we pray now that your Holy Spirit would speak to us, open people's ears and eyes, move people out of bad churches into good churches. And Lord, just we pray for the church, especially in America, that has become so duped that somehow you'll bring us back to the Scriptures. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, first item in our heresy update, Pope Francis of the Roman Catholic Church. Perhaps you remember a few months ago, the Pope now has decided it is okay for a Catholic priest to bless homosexual couples. He said it's not the same as marriage, but if a homosexual couple wants to come to the priest to be blessed, the Pope's fine with that. He has endorsed civil unions for same-sex couples. Now listen, I'm a Lutheran, and I have struggled with same-sex attraction most of my life. So for years, I have attended a Catholic group called Courage International, these small groups all over the world for men who have same-sex attraction, so they'll fight the good fight, be celibate, and resist temptation. What the Pope did, I believe, is a slap in the face to people like me and the other Catholics in the groups of Courage. The Pope is on this issue is following the world and not the Word. Pope Francis has also taught that if atheists do good, they'll go to heaven. Well, the Bible teaches nobody does good. We're all sinners. We need the cross of Christ to save us. I'm sorry, Pope Francis is the most heretical pope in my lifetime. Now let's move to the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, the ELCA Lutherans, which I was for years until I led my congregation out of that denomination into a more biblical branch of Lutheranism. Listen to the news from what the ELCA Lutheran Church has been doing. ELCA queer pastor, that's how she refers to herself, I'm not calling her a name, ELCA queer pastor is honored by the LGBT drag group, the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. Have you ever seen these men dressing up as nuns, and it's a drag thing to promote homosexuality? Well, Pastor Dawn Bennett of the ELCA, who calls herself a queer pastor, was made an honorary Sister of Perpetual Indulgence. And then she invited a drag queen to preach in her Lutheran church. Next item. ELCA Lutheran Young Adult Ministry explores the beauty of drag with a queer seminarian. The ELCA Lutheran Church is exploring, quote, the beauty of drag in its upcoming discussion for young adults entitled Drag and Church. This will be hosted by a queer ELCA seminarian who enjoys studying dense queer theory, whatever that is. And this is your ELCA. If you're an ELCA Lutheran, this is your offering dollars of work putting together this new ways to connect the Bible and theology and the art of drag. I'm not making this up. Go to my Facebook page. Go to pastorstudy.org. Push the F for Facebook. You'll get all these articles. Next, this summer will be the ELCA Lutheran Teen Convention. Last time this happened was a few years ago. 31,000 Lutheran teenagers went to New Orleans, and they put an 11-year-old boy who thinks he's a girl on stage to promote transgenderism. Then radical ELCA Lutheran pastor Nadia Bolz-Weber got in front of the teens and kind of in a mock baptismal vow, she had the students say after me, "I renounce the lie that queerness is anything other than beauty." Well, now, this summer will be the next teen convention. The theme is Created to Be, to work for justice for all our siblings. Now, the ELCA shies away from saying brothers and sisters now because that's too binary. So now we say siblings to include transgenderism. The teens will be told to introduce themselves in this way. "Hi, my name is blank, and I use the pronouns blank." And teens are told, honor everyone by calling them by their names and the pronouns they feel comfortable with. You might be surprised to learn that someone in your group has been longing to introduce themselves to you in this way. The upcoming teen convention will have a land acknowledgement at the beginning of their sessions, stating that their assembly is being held on land stolen from Native Americans. The big theme of the upcoming teen convention is be disruptive to injustice. Teens are told to discuss what injustices have you experienced, and they are told we are created to be disruptive, to work for justice for all our siblings. And then the teens are taught some interrupting phrases, such as we don't say things like that here, to disrupt unjust situations. And then, I believe in a nod to the LGBT movement, teens are told, be authentic and bring your whole selves. And there's a movement in the ELCA Lutheran Church called Reconciling in Christ congregations. That means this congregation is a pro-gay congregation. Then the small groups, the teens are supposed to ask, what would it mean for you if your congregation became a Reconciled in Christ congregation? Well, do you think they're pushing an agenda here just a little bit? And then teens will be taught not to see darkness as sin because that's racist. Quote, one particularly harmful part of theology is to associate sin with all things dark and black. This is white supremacy. God is beyond the binary of light and darkness. How does claiming the holiness of darkness reframe who God is for you? Now, this is nonsense. If you're a black Christian and you're watching, I don't know any black Christian that has a problem with agreeing with 1 John chapter 1, in God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. This has nothing to do with racism. Perhaps the most tragic thing, as I look through the preparatory materials for the upcoming teen convention, there's not a mention of evangelizing your lost friends and bringing them to Christ. Why? Well, the head bishop of the ELCA Lutherans has said, hell is empty. So if everybody's going to heaven and we don't need to evangelize the lost, what are we going to do with our teens for 4 days, however long it is? We're going to teach them liberal politics is what they're going to teach them. And you know, their big push for being against injustice, the injustice being done to children in the womb is nowhere mentioned in the ELCA convention. Why? Because the ELCA pays for abortion with offering dollars. Next ELCA Lutheran issue. My old Lutheran Bible camp is going to host its second annual LGBT Pride Camp for 14 through 18-year-olds. Now, when I was 17 years old, I went to Outlaw Lutheran Camp in Custer, South Dakota. It was a wonderful week. But today, they will be hosting LGBT Pride Camp for teenagers so they can live into their authentic selves. Years ago, when I was at Outlaw Lutheran Camp, you had to go to Bible study. But, quote, "We recognize the church may not have been a welcoming space for LGBTQIA plus youth. Therefore, Bible study will not be required. There will be no gendered bathrooms at this Bible camp." You know, back when I was 17, your authentic self was either male or female, who God created you to be. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 19. There's only male or female. But today, in the ELCA Lutheran camp, if you're a man and you think you're a woman, well, then you're a woman. Now, again, I have had same-sex attraction most of my life. I'm a celibate. I, by the grace of God, have never had sex because the Bible says homosexual sex is a sin. Regular sex outside of marriage is a sin, so I don't go there. I will. They're not going to invite me to speak at Outlaw Lutheran Camp because I hold the biblical traditional point of view. Next. Minneapolis Lutherans devise a God the Mother worship service that is gay and trans friendly. Bishop Ann Svenningson, I went to seminary with her, and 15 church leaders in the ELCA Minneapolis Area Synod have commissioned a new expansive language liturgy. This was done after having spent time with feminist, womanist, mujerista, and queer theologians. So with your church offering dollars, they've come up with a new worship service. The commissioning group is upfront about their problem with the patriarchal Bible. Quote, "The ELCA teaches that God's word speaks through Scripture. However, our Christian traditions are both a resource and a challenge. In our holy texts, there are words, images, social patterns, and moral beliefs that are rooted in patriarchal values, and they do not affirm all bodies as holy and beloved by God. On occasions when, including Scripture, that might historically have been interpreted in sexist or heterosexist ways, it might be fitting to acknowledge." Here's what you're supposed to read before you read the Scripture. "Today we will read blank. Historically, this passage has been interpreted to promote the subjugation of women, girls, and those who do not conform to gender binaries. While we believe that God speaks to us through Scripture, we also acknowledge that within our holy texts, there are words, images, social patterns, moral beliefs that reflect patriarchal values. This church rejects interpretations of Scripture that perpetuate sexism and heterosexism. This church affirms all bodies and genders are holy and beloved of God." Oh, then the service begins. Not in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's kind of sexist. The service begins in the name of the Creator, Redeemer, and Comforter. And then the liturgy says, "Our God claims us as her own." Then a prayer is made to Mothering God. Then the congregation sings a hymn, "The Spirit always guides us. We trust what she will say." The instructions continue. "On occasions, there is a particular need for communal affirmation of God's love for women, girls, trans, and gender nonconforming people. So use these similar words." And then there's kind of a mock baptismal vow. "Do you renounce the powers of patriarchy and sexism? I renounce them." This is not Christianity, folks. This is an attack on the name of God. The last words of Jesus on earth were, "Disciples, go baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." And I think Jesus knows more than the bureaucrats and some of the pastors of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. ELCA has been doing this for a long time, promoting God the Mother worship, but at its last national convention, it passed a resolution to use, quote, "gender-inclusive, expansive language for God." Well, Jesus repeatedly prays to God the Father in the Gospels. Never once did Jesus pray to God the Mother. And I'm quoting the ELCA website. The woman who was the director of Justice for Women for the ELCA wrote this: "I am able to think of God as Father, but to think of God as a nurturing, defending, loving mother will likely be my sentimental favorite." So I looked her up. She is a Reiki master. That's this kind of new age energy. She's a Reiki master and says, "I have studied and continue to practice the spiritual cleansing of space and auras." This is new age. I think God the Mother is new age. Well, so I'm kind of nostalgic. Now and then I'll walk around my old college. And now and then I'll walk around Luther Seminary. It's an ELCA Lutheran seminary where I attended. It was moderately liberal when I was there. Today, it's radically liberal. You can go to chapel and get a transgender preacher or have a prayer to God the Mother. And so I thought, I'm going to take another walk around Luther Seminary, even though I'm uncomfortable there. I looked at the professor's doors. Here's one with a woman like this doing yoga. Other doors had the gay rainbow up. They have hired a new queer theologian at Luther Seminary. Those are his words. And the church across the street from Luther Seminary used to be, I think, a pretty good church. They have the gay emblem on their front sign, and their woman pastor is a lesbian who's married to another Lutheran pastor at another ELCA church. Well, here's the kicker. I drove by the campus, and half of the campus now has been sold. There's a sign that used to say Luther Seminary. It's blank because Luther Seminary has been losing students. It's been losing money. They had to sell off buildings so that half of the campus now doesn't say Luther Seminary anymore. Now, let's turn one more place, and that is to the Presbyterian Church USA, a very liberal branch of Presbyterianism. Downtown Minneapolis is the historic Westminster Presbyterian that once upon a time was a pretty biblical church. It went woke many years ago. So they have a Sunday morning afternoon TV service, so I watched it recently. And they had a baby baptism, and they read the scriptures from Ephesians chapter 4 before the baptism. We believe in one God, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all. Except they deleted God the Father out of that scripture reading. Why? Again, because it's kind of sexist to call God your Father. And then in the service, they didn't talk about your Christian brothers and sisters. It was your Christian siblings. No, that's enough. But this is going on in the United Church of Christ, the Episcopal Church in America, the Disciples of Christ, the United Methodist Church, the Reformed Church in America. Oh my. And I'm not saying this out of hatred. I love people. I don't want them to be deceived. That's why I bring all this up. And I'll just share this in closing. I've shared this before, but a woman became a Christian and went to the office, and her friend heard about it and said, "Well, what's the difference between you and me now that you're a Christian?" And the woman answered, "One letter. You love the world. I love the Word. And it is out of love that I'm telling you this. Make sure you get into a church that is in love with the Word and which is not following the world." Amen.
Welcome to the portion of the Pastor Study where we ask Pastor Brock questions regarding the Bible. Pastor Brock, our first letter today from a viewer question. Psalms 14, verse 1. "The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They do abominable deeds. There is none who does good." Do you actually concur with the above psalm? Are the great majority of college instructors and science Nobel laureates abominable? Who are atheists? And do they really do no good?
Yeah. Well, I had to condense that one down a bit, but I think he's got two things he's saying. Number one, why is it the majority of intelligent people are not Christians? And my response is, same reason the majority of unintelligent people are not Christians. Mm-hmm. We don't want to give up our will. We don't want anyone telling us what to do. I'm going to live my life, thank you. Let's get rid of God and the Jesus and the Holy Spirit. I want to run my life. I think that's why everyone, intelligent and unintelligent, don't come to Christ. I would also point out, though, some of the brightest minds in the history of mankind have been Christians. Mm-hmm. But then the second thing I think he's making, does Psalm 14 mean that atheists can't do any good? Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, if I break my leg and I go to an atheist doctor who fixes mm-hmm. it, of course that, in a sense, is good. Mm-hmm. But I thought of this verse from Romans 14, whatever is not from faith is sin. So Mona, if you do something nice and good, but you're doing it not out of faith in God, but because you want to show people what a great person you are, mm-hmm. well, God can still use it to do good, but it doesn't count because your motive stinks and you're not doing it from faith. So that would be my response.
All right. Yep. Amen. Is there any mention of tattooing in the Bible?
Well, yes. Leviticus 19:28, you shall not make any cuts in your body for the dead. That was a pagan practice. Mm-hmm. And you shall not make any tattoo marks on yourself. I am the Lord. So back, you know, I'm not going to say it's a sin to get a tattoo. Some people think that's what that means. Mm-hmm. I think it probably means there were tattoos they were doing in pagan practices. Mm-hmm. So people today who get tattoos are not marking themselves for the dead and doing pagan stuff. On the other hand, I could be wrong. Mm-hmm. So personally, I don't get a tattoo. But I don't think I would use that verse to say it's forbidden.
Okay.
Yeah.
Would you please pray for my addictions? I smoke too many cigarettes and drink probably too much.
And I responded, and I did pray for him, but I said to him, we all need accountability. Mm-hmm. You need to get into a good church regularly, get that kind of ability. Then you need to get a prayer partner, or you need to be mm-hmm. part of a support group. But to try to fight your sins all by yourself, you're not going to win over addiction. Mm-hmm. You know, it says in James chapter 5, confess your sins to one another mm-hmm. that you may be healed. So he needs accountability. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Support is so important.
Mm-hmm.
Does Matthew 10:15 mean there are different levels in hell?
All right, Jesus said Matthew 10:15, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city that rejected Christ and his messengers. So there'll be condemnation, but one are more condemned than the other. There is a verse too, he who knew his master's will and didn't do it will receive lashes, but he who knew his master's will and didn't do it will receive more lashes. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to make a big doctrine over this. Those places make me think there are levels in hell. Mm. Yeah.
Okay. I'm wondering, is it okay for Christians to sit out an election when neither candidate is safe to vote for? Thank you, and God bless.
The problem is you're never going to have a perfect candidate. Mm-hmm. But what if both are so horrible? Mm-hmm. Do I just stay home? I'm giving you an opinion here. I don't know a Bible verse either way that would say. I always vote, mm-hmm. and I normally look for who's for the killing of unborn children and who isn't. Who's promoting homosexuality and sex change operations for children mm-hmm. and who isn't. Those are issues that make me vote for the lesser of two evils because we're all evil.
That's true.
Yeah.
What does it mean in Genesis when it says we are created in God's image?
God made male and female in the image of God. He created them. So both men and women are created in God's image. Does that mean that God has ears, eyes, nose, fingers, and then God made Adam and Eve to look like that? I don't think so. Mm-hmm. Because God is spirit, Jesus said. Mm-hmm. So, and again, I don't know a clear verse on this, but God has a mind. Mm-hmm. God has feelings. And he has a will. So he can think things, he can feel things, he can do things. Maybe that's what the image of God is. He makes us, you can think things, you can feel things, you can will and do things. So perhaps that's what that's about.
Okay.
And I'm saying perhaps.
I have a question about John 3:36. The King James Version says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Now the English Standard Version says, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. I'm a little confused.
Right.
Your
so
thoughts.
The King James Version says, whoever does not believe the Son shall not have life. Some of the other versions say whoever does not obey the Son. So is it believe or obey? And sometimes this happens. There'll be ancient manuscripts, and one word will be different. So there's a whole science to this called textual criticism, where you try to get back to the very earliest, most trustworthy text. Mm-hmm. And now and then it's a hard call. For instance, this is the New American Standard Bible. It says whoever believes in the Son, and then it says whoever obeys the Son, like the ESV version, and then it says in the footnotes, or believe, pointing out that there's an issue here. So ESV is probably, I think, the most reliable literal translation. Mm-hmm. The NASB is too. King James is very good, but we have more recent manuscripts than they had back in the 1600s. Mm-hmm. So, there you go.
Okay. My sister is intent on bringing people to Christ, but in the process alienates them due to her persistency. Are we not supposed to gently mention or speak of Christ and then leave it in his hands? Can you provide scriptures that speak to this?
Yes. In 2 Timothy it says, correct your opponents with gentleness. Mm-hmm. Perhaps God will lead them give them the grace that leads to repentance. Mm-hmm. So our job is to be as gentle and loving and humble as we can be when we share Christ with people, and then perhaps God will work in their heart mm-hmm. to save them. I think you pray before you go see people, and God, open my mouth when I should and help me bite my tongue when I should, and then you just do what you think you're supposed to do.
So harping on a person consistently
doesn't work. Sometimes silence is the most powerful thing you can do.
Mm-hmm. Do we have time for one more?
I think we better wrap it up, Mona, because we're late here. But everybody, thank you for watching this program. If you want to watch more of our TV shows for free at any time, go to pastorstudy.org. All of our TV shows are there. We so appreciate your prayers for this ministry. We are on more stations now than we've ever been on, reaching more people for Christ. Lots of mail. But just, if you would, pray for us. If the Lord nudges you to support us, to keep us on the air, you can do so at pastorstudy.org, or there's an address you can write. But there you go.
Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Stay in his word. God bless you. See you next time on the Pastor Study.
Thank you for watching The Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write The Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.